Chapter 69. Dorian knew he was in trouble as soon as the dancing girl entered the throne room. He'd been meeting with the Gravar chieftain, a hulking Highlander whose raven hair hung in great mats to his waist. The Gravar were a powerful Highland tribe, and Grakat Croon was highly regarded by all the tribes. He had come to test Dorian. It was a harmless bit of Highlander play. Mostly. The Highlanders hadn't made a serious attempt at independence for more than a century, and Grakat had found Dorian satisfactory in all ways. Until this. "Your Holiness," Grakat Croon said, his half-lidded eyes too self-satisfied by far. "I would like to present you with a gift to seal our treaty." He gestured, and two girls came forward. The dancer was about 16. The other, who held a Highland flute, was perhaps 13. And though they were both pretty, Dorian had no doubt they were the chieftain's daughters. As the dancer began a sensuous ronda, most of Dorian's guards and all of his courtiers averted their eyes. The Highland version of the dance was different from what Dorian had seen in his youth. The girls wore a wide garment with exaggerated wide shoulders, from which were suspended strips of cloth. Around the hips, the cloth had bells sewn in. As her sister played, each gyration of the dancer's hips made the bells tinkle and revealed glimpses of her nakedness beneath. As in the lowland dance, the girl appeared to float, chest and head immobile, while her body tantalized. But the lowland dance was more focused on the stomach, which this girl had fully covered. Nevertheless, in moments, Dorian was drawn in. The chieftain's daughter was talented. The ronda gave way to a berra, and removed the last doubts from Dorian's mind about what that chieftain intended. The berra was faster, more erotic. The girl clapped her hands in time over her head, exposing the sides of her breasts, her hips snapping side to side, but now also undulating front to back in a motion that would torment any man with a pulse. Dorian was trapped. He wasn't sure if he was glad that Janine was sequestered from her moonblood, or if he wished she were here. Perhaps her presence would have changed things. Grakat Croon wouldn't have his daughter dance a berra for the God King unless he planned to give her to him. A marriage to seal a treaty had far less weight in the north than it did in the southern realms. But the smile that had been on the chieftain's face told Dorian something else. Dorian thought that taking many wives would have quelled the rumors he'd begun by entering the castle as a eunuch. But if anyone found out that he wasn't using his harem, the half-man jokes would begin again. A Highland warrior like Grakat Croon achieved his place through the force of his virtu, which meant not only virtue, but also strength and manliness. To the Highlanders, the three concepts were one. What manliness could a eunuch have? How could a war chief submit to half a man? Dorian made a small gesture, and the throne room cleared quietly of everyone except his guards and several Vredmeisters. Grakat Croon looked disturbed, but his daughter didn't miss a step, and Dorian kept his attention full on her, not giving the chieftain any clues. Inside, Dorian's stomach roiled. "God, give me the strength for what I'm about to do." But he'd rejected the one god, and the thought of what the god would think of this cooled whatever arousal Dorian still had left. Would Janine understand? Maybe, if she didn't have to see it. Damn the Highlander. Dorian's hands had given him news that Moburu was making a bid to take over the barbarian tribes in the Frieze. Moburu was calling himself the prophesied High King and the hell of it was that he had been born on the right day, or missed it by 3, depending on which scholar's calendar you believed. But even if Moburu died before spring, and especially if he didn't, Dorian needed this Highlander to bring all the other Highlanders to him to face Nefdada and his Verdmeisters. If Dorian faltered now, the story would get out instantly. The new God King was either impotent or a eunuch. A Southron, then. No true God King at all. Grakat Kroon would have killed him with a teenage girl. If I'm to be God King, I've got to rule like a God King. The dancer finished with an exuberance and intensity in her smoky eyes that surprised Dorian. Had she convinced herself to love him, a stranger? Or was there fear somewhere beneath, a terror she concealed, taking only its energy to fuel her dance? Dorian rapped his knuckles on his throne appreciatively, the Caladoran equivalent of applause. He smiled and stood. By Kali, Grakat! They're amazing, they're stunning, gorgeous! The younger one dances too? Grakat looked confused. Yes, Your Holiness, but I meant... I accept them. I've never had a more handsome gift. Child, what's your name? He asked, turning to the flutist. Her sudden fear confirmed what Dorian expected. Grakat had intended to bait him with the dancer. The last thing he'd expected was that a eunuch would want both of his daughters. Between the young girl's fear and the older girl's incredulity, Dorian wanted to say, I didn't want this. Your father used you as pawns against a god. A god can't let him win. But he said nothing. I'm Issa, the girl said. She was barely flowered, pretty in an awkward, girlish way. Dorian's stomach threatened to rebel. Kali, give me strength. He remembered a spell to ease the girl's fright and accomplish his purposes. He'd used it often as a lecherous young man. The Gravar seal marriage pacts publicly, don't they? Dorian asked. Fear shot through the chieftain's eyes, and Dorian knew that the younger daughter was Grakat's favorite. It's a tradition we've not practiced in many... A good tradition, Dorian said. Especially when there are doubts about the groom's virtue. Kali, give me strength. Your Holiness. Grakat was turning green. His men-at-arms averted their eyes. Issa still didn't know what they were talking about. Before she could figure it out, Dorian laid a tracery of Vir on her. She visibly relaxed. Her pupils dilated, and she couldn't seem to look anywhere but Dorian's face. He continued the spell, delicately coaxing her body into deceiving her mind. Whatever he did to her now, she would enjoy. Later, if she were as horrified as she ought to be, they would tell her that he was a god, that there was no shaming in serving him however he desired, that she should feel honored to have attracted his attention. I don't know all the intricacies of your quaint barbarian customs, so a few pillows on the floor will have to do. That is, unless you object. Dorian stood and shrugged out of his ermine overrobe. With the veer, he devoured the rest of his clothing with tongues of black flame. Naked, his flesh writhing with layer on layer of veer, thorns of it clawing out of his side, a black crown of it springing through the skin of his head, Dorian glowered at the chieftain. The huge man trembled. He tried to turn his head. He found it locked in place. He tried to close his eyes. He found he couldn't blink. The veer swept Dorian's courtier's pillows into a pile 3 paces from Grakat's feet. Dorian let his glory fade and turned to the girl. He smiled at her. Come, love. Kali, give me strength. Dorian prayed. and found he had it. God forgive him. His strength didn't flag for an instant. Afterward, Dorian stood, his body gleaming with sweat. Issa lay panting, oblivious, obscene. For the first time, Grakat Kroon was staring at Wan Hope with the fear a God-King deserved. The God-King said, "I'll be expecting you come spring. If your war host numbers 7,000, I will put you over the quarrel, Churak, Hragl, and Iktana clans. On spring's first new moon, we march to Black Barrow. The girls stay with me."